Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Aren't you glad that God is good? He's so good, He's so good, He's so good. You know, God is as good as you'll let Him be, amen? Hallelujah. Well, you know what? We were praying about today's service because of the weather and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? I'm sorry if you see me looking up there. There's a balloon up there. Do you guys see that? How did that happen? But there was at a wild party when we weren't here because but thank God, you know, we're here to receive the word. I tell you, church is important, amen. Honoring the Lord is important. Obeying the word is important. You know, we've gotten so far away from the word obey. Nobody wants to say it anymore. Nobody wants to talk about it because it's like, oh, you're infringing on my rights. Listen, as a child of God, the only rights I have are in Him. Amen. Those are the only rights I have are in Him. And so I just applaud you today because you came to church. You're honoring God. You're saying, God, you're important to me. I'm putting you first for my week. A lot of people, they decided yesterday, you know, oh, it's going to rain tomorrow. I'm not going to come to church. But look at you. Amen. Woo. Glory. I tell you, we just finished a great, I thought it was a great series. It was based off of a book that I read. And then I'm so excited that so many of you, you're hungry for the things of God. And you bought the book on your own and you read the book too. And then I had in my Bible study, we had ladies sharing the book because they were like, oh, this book is so good. You got to read it. And it was on the four cups. And so it's the four I wills of God. If you weren't here, you missed that series. So many people got blessed by it. I encourage you to get the book or borrow it from somebody. It's being passed around. It'll change your life. Amen. It's just talking about what God has done for us. And then, you know, we gotta remember we got stuff to do too, right? You know, we're saved by grace. Four works. We got work to do for the kingdom of God. Amen. Good work. And today, I'm super excited about the series today because I'm only preaching the next couple weeks and then I'm going to be on vacation. We've got Beth Jones coming, then Pastor Angel's preaching on Father's Day, so I won't be back that Father's Day. So I was like, Lord, I want to do something awesome for 2 weeks. I want to do something awesome for 2 weeks. You know, God's word is so awesome. You can just stand up here and read the word. It'd be awesome. Amen. But I've got great news for you. I'm going to just talk the next couple weeks. And my series is called Picked.
Hello. Come on.
Picked. Yes. You'll find out why. You'll find out why. But before we do that, tomorrow is Memorial Day. And it's so, you know, as a church, we want to make sure that we're always reminding ourselves of truth. Amen? Because the Bible says the truth will set you free. And tomorrow is Memorial Day, and I know it's, I don't think very many picnics are going to be happening tomorrow because of the other rain. You can have a picnic inside or whatever. But we just want to remember and remind ourselves and be thankful. Oh my goodness, how thankful I am for those who have given their lives so that we can enjoy the freedom that we have. You know, sometimes as Americans especially, we can, number one, we think God's American. God's not American. Amen. And God is not Republican. So I hate to burst a couple of bubbles in here, but God is not a Republican either. Amen. God is higher than all of that. God is higher than all of that. And sometimes we need to come up higher than all of that. Amen. That's another message. But anyway, we're just so, sometimes we can forget how blessed we are.
Yes.
You know, you watch the news and you can get a little jaded and you know, the whole thing about immigration right now. But, you know, here, and I don't want to get into an argument with you. If you have a message, just send it to Angel, right? You know, that's my email. Angel, but you know, one thing to remember is that people want to come here because we're so blessed.
Amen.
Amen. They want to come here. And I'm not saying one way or another. I'm just saying let's recognize how good we have it. That's all I'm saying.
Amen.
Is that we're so blessed. We have such freedom here. And we have freedom to worship and freedom to have Bibles and freedom to be together. And all these things that came at a cost.
Yes.
It came at a great cost. And so Memorial Day is a day that we remember the cost that was paid for it, the cost that was paid for our freedom. You know, no other country on the earth has the freedom of religion that America has. Nobody else has what we have. And let's always remember that and be thankful for it. And that's why America is we are one nation under God. But one of the things that America sends and pays for more missionaries than any other nation in the world. God has, he has a job for us to do. And we must have our freedom of religion to do that. And thank God we have it along with all the other freedoms we have. And so just to put us in a reminder that tomorrow's not just about hamburgers and marathons on TV or home improvement projects or just sleeping in. You know, those things can happen, but tomorrow, Memorial Day, is to remember. Amen. And so we want to show you guys a video. We like to just put it in our minds, put it in our hearts. And if you have children in here, make sure you share with them what tomorrow is. Amen. Make sure you sit them down and remind them that all these things that we have benefit of, they came at a cost. They came at a cost. You know, I take my dad to the Veterans Hospital up off of Blue Heron. You know, he's a veteran. And they have a big plaque there. And every time I see it, when you pull into the parking lot, have anybody ever seen this? Pull in the parking lot, and there's this big thing, and it says, "The cost of freedom is seen here." And it's so moving because you go in there, and you see it. You see it. And so let's just remember here today. Go ahead, Macho. Amen. You know, let's just take a minute and let's just pray for the families of those who have lost loved ones in service for our country. I'm sure today is a difficult day, but let's just pray. Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we may not know the people that we're praying for personally. Some we do, some we don't. But Lord, we know that you do. So Lord, first and foremost, we say thank you. Thank you for all the benefits and blessings that have come to us because of this great nation. We are so thankful. And Father, we are thankful for each and every person who has given their life for this great nation. We may have flaws, and we know that we do. But Lord, we're grateful that your hand is upon us, that your hand is upon our nation. And we thank you, Lord, for the liberties that we have. And we pray for the families who have loved ones that they have lost in the fight for the freedom we enjoy. And we just thank you, Lord, that you comfort them, that you remind them of the honor their loved one did in serving our nation. And we thank you, Lord, that just tomorrow that you just remind us that freedom comes at a cost. And you remind us to honor that cost. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Glory. Praise the Lord. I always get a little choked up because I'm just so grateful. Yes. Amen, I'm just so grateful. And I know that you are as well. All right, here we go. You guys ready for a good word? All I got is good news for you today. That's all I got. And so, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be looking and not a verse by verse, although I did that a few years ago. I did a verse by verse study of the book of Ephesians, which was life-changing. It was life-changing for me, for anybody that heard it was just life-changing, because the book of Ephesians is such a powerful book. And I want all of us, I want to challenge you in the next couple of weeks to just read the book of Ephesians. Amen? Just read it. You know, your Bible is important. And the more closed it is, the weaker you are. Hello. The weaker you are spiritually. We need the Word. And we can't, it's not a one and done. We've got to continually read the Word because the Word will strengthen us. The Word will continue to straighten out our thoughts. Yes. The Word will continue to remind us. You know, if we don't have the standard to hold our lives to, if we don't know the standard, our lives are going to be all over the place. Amen. We need to hold our lives to the standard of the Word of God. We need to hold our thoughts to the standard of the Word. And so we need the Word to do that. And so I just encourage you on Sunday nights, we do a class here. We're doing on believers' authority. So we've been talking a lot about Ephesians. And so I encourage you to just read the book of Ephesians. It won't take you too long. It'll be good for you. Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, and one of the things about it is it's different from the rest of the letters he wrote because it's not directly related to one place, even though it's Ephesians. And a lot of people believe that this book, this letter, we know that it's a letter. Paul was writing a letter to the churches, and so it was to be distributed, and it was to all the churches all over Asia to remind them of what Jesus had done and who we are because of what Jesus did. Yeah, right. Amen? And so you got to know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, when other people put a label on you, you are more susceptible to take it. But when you know who you are and someone tries to label you, you can be like, oh, no, that's not who I am. So it's important that you know who you are according to what the Word says, not what people say, not what mom said, not what your natural name says, but what your spiritual name says. Amen? And so we need to know that. And so one of the greatest roadblocks that the enemy uses and deterrents and hindrances to people living and having a daily walk with God is feeling worthless. That's one of the number one things he does. He wants to get you to think that you're worthless, that you're not good enough, that you have guilt, that you have shame, that you have all this stuff. He wants to tell you that you're not good enough for God because he wants to separate. He wants there to be a separation between you and God. He wants you to think that you can't get close to God, that God doesn't want to get close to you because you're worthless, you've done all these things, you're guilty, you've got shame. And so the result is we stay away from God, we avoid him and anything related to him, right? How many people have we met, we want to talk to them about Jesus, and the first thing they want to talk about is everything they've done? You know, or how many times we said, oh, you know, we invite people to church and they say, oh, if I came to church, the walls would cave in. So their focus is on what they've done, not what Jesus has done. Amen. And that's the enemy's ultimate plan. He wants you to focus so much on what you've done that you don't know what he's done. But see, when you know what he's done, you know it takes care of everything you've done. But see, the enemy is saying, oh no, you're this, you're this, you're this, you've done all these things, you can't, you know? How many of us, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, I know it's happened to me, but when I've gone to pray, the enemy will come and say, you're gonna ask for that? You're gonna pray after, you know, after all this? And there's power in repentance, amen? Yes. I'm not going to stay in my mistakes. I'm going to repent. But when I repent, it brings me right where I can go right to the throne of God. Yes. Not based on what I've done, based on what he's done. And how what he's done affects me. And so the enemy's always going to try to make you think you're not good enough. And so when he does that, or when you mess up, you're like, oh, I can't be around God and I can't be around godly people. You ever notice when someone is slipping, they're slipping away, you're the last person they want to see. You know why? It's not you. It's not you. So if you think it's you, it's not you. It's not you. It's who you represent. Because you're a constant reminder to them. But if that's the case, it shows that they don't really know Jesus as well as they think they do. Because when you really know Jesus, you always run back to him when you screw up. Amen. Amen? You run back to him when you screw up. I love the story, and this is just a little side journey I think I feel led to take. I love the story of Peter, who we're always talking about how Peter messed up and all this, but Peter was an amazing man of God, an amazing man of God. But his sin was, you know, he denied Jesus 3 times. Even after he said, man, I would never do that. Everybody else will probably do it, but not me. Have you ever noticed a lot of times the things that you judge people very harshly for are the things that you fall for yourself?
Hello.
Be careful.
Come on. Watch out.
And so Peter said, all these other people, they'll probably do it, but not me, Lord. Not me. And Jesus said, Peter, before the rooster crows crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter was so offended because he was like, I would never do that. But he did do it. But Peter had a choice to make after just screwing up so bad. How many know that's kind of a screw up? You call everybody out because you think they're going to do it. You swear you're never going to do it. You look right in the face of Jesus and say, I will never do that. And then you do exactly what he said. But the thing I love about it is that he knew Jesus.
Yes.
He knew Jesus. And the next time he saw Jesus, and if you don't know this story, you need to read it up. Get your Bible out and read it. The next time he saw him, Peter was in the boat and Jesus was on the shore. Now there's two things Peter could have done. He could have done what maybe all of us have done. He could have hid himself like, oh man, I can't believe it's Jesus. I do not want to see Jesus right now. Jesus is the last person I want to see because we feel so much guilt. But Peter showed us how to respond when we blow it. The Bible says that Peter didn't even wait for the boat to get to the shore. He took off his tunic and he jumped in the water and he ran to Jesus and he embraced him. That's what you do when you mess up. Because do you know that it was Peter that was chosen in the book of Acts to be the first one to preach the gospel after the Pentecost? It was Peter who stood up and said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It was Peter that did that. He was picked for that. All the other disciples were probably like, you picked him after what he did? You pick him? But he was picked. I love how Peter responded when he blew it. And I encourage you, if you've blown it, don't run from God. Run to God. No matter what, no matter how many times, no matter what, because Jesus is always welcoming and open to you. He will never be like, it's you. You know, that's what people do. They're like, it's you again. You blew it again. You screwed up again. That's what people do. That's not what God does. That's not what God does. And so always run to Jesus. But the enemy will always try to put separation between you and God. Always. And so we've got to learn how to keep that, how to close that gap. And so we're going to look at it in Ephesians. Because in the enemy's always trying to deceive us, to instill fear, to keep you misguided in your walk with God. But here's the really good thing. It's really important to remember in John chapter 8, verse number 44, it tells us the devil is a liar. It says his native language is lies. It's like there's a song, if his mouth is moving, it's lies. The enemy always lies. And so if he tells you something, you'd be like, I know it's a lie. How do you know it's a lie? Because he's saying it. Amen. It's his language. And so today, we're going to look in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to concentrate on just one sentence. One sentence. You probably think this is going to take a long time to get through the book of Ephesians. We're not going to go through the whole book of Ephesians. We're just going to grab a couple of key points. And we're going to look at verses 3 through 14 in chapter 1. And here's a good thing. When Paul wrote this, he didn't say Ephesians chapter 1. He didn't do that. It's a letter. He's writing a letter. So really, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, all you grammar police, settle down. It is one giant run-on sentence, really. And so we're just going to concentrate there. We're going to read it. You guys ready? I want you to leave here today which is having a divine encounter. That's my prayer, that your eyes would be open, that you would invite God into your presence, have a divine encounter, that you would leave here with a confidence and a peace and an assurance in your relationship with God. I want you to have an assurance in your relationship with God, a confidence in your relationship with God. So when you do mess up, and you will, so when you do mess up, you run to God and not away from God. And so when God speaks to you and he's like, hey, you need to step up here. You need to do this. You need to do that. You won't be like, oh, man, I can't do that. I can't do it. You're going to have an assurance in you, yes. Man. If God called me to do it, yes. I can do it.
Yes.
Amen. When God calls you to those hard things, when he calls you to speak to people, when he calls you to deal with stuff in your heart, to do some repenting, to take care of some business in there, you're not going to feel the shame of it. You're going to feel the freedom from it. Amen. The Bible says when we repent that rivers come over us. That it's like a flowing river. You take care of business. Yeah. But you got to have an assurance with your relationship with God to do that. You got to know how much God loves you to do that. You got to know who you are in Christ to do that. So when obstacles come, you can be like, oh, I got this because of Jesus. When our heart gets a little checked and we need to take care of business, we can be like, I can do this because of Jesus. Amen? When we're called to big steps, we can say, I can do this because of Jesus. Amen? And so here we go. You guys ready? It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to stop. When I did a verse-by-verse study on the book of Ephesians, we spent 2 weeks on verse number 2. And a lot of times we skip right over those, don't we? We're like, oh, it's who he's writing up, grace and peace, blah, blah, blah. Let me get to the good stuff. That is the good stuff. Grace and peace to you from God. That word peace there, let me just give you something. The word peace there, you know what it means? You ready? Fasten your pew belt. This is a good one. It's so good. That word peace there, it means this. The battle is over. Isn't that so good? The battle is over. Jesus won the battle. The things that you feel like are so overwhelming that you'll never have victory in, you need to look at it and say, peace.
Yes.
The battle's over.
Yes.
My job is to enforce the victory. Jesus won the battle. Amen? When you're feeling overwhelmed, like, oh, I can't do that, you can be like, you know what? Jesus already won the battle. All right, let's keep going. Praise, this is verse number 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Oh, so good. We could preach for a month right there. Verse number 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Verse number 11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession to the praise of his glory. Oh, so good. So good, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't even have to preach a message. It's so good. It is the message. Amen. But I want you to see there, we got it up. That's not my thing. All right, here we go. I want you to notice a couple of things. In verse number 4, it says, for he chose us. Verse number 5, he predestined us. for adoption to sonship. Verse number 7, we have redemption through his blood. Verse number 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will. God's will is not a mystery to you. It's a mystery when you don't know it, but once you know it, it's not a mystery to you anymore, right? You can know the will of God. In verse number 11, it says, we were also chosen. Verse number 13, you were also were included in Christ. You were marked in him with a seal. Man, isn't that good? We are chosen. We're chosen. But how many of us, maybe you're in here today and you were the star athlete at your school, but there are the rest of us, right? The rest of us. The people that were in band. Right? Those guys, or the ones who are the mathletes or whatever, you know? We weren't that great at sports. That's me. And so how many of us had this? I've got a video for you. I'm going to show you an experience. And if this rings true for you, I just want you to know there's hope for you. All right? There's hope for you. You guys got it? Go ahead. Roll that video. It's only 38 seconds long, but it's so good.
You got first pick.
No, you go first.
All right.
James. Stacy. We'll take Natalie. Matt. Whitney. All right. Daniel.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. How many of you were that guy? I'm not raising my, I'm not living high school over again, you know, but the thing is, sometimes that's exactly how we feel, isn't it? And then actually the video goes on where he picks the lawn guy, he picks the dog, he picks the kid riding he picks everybody before he picks this guy. And a lot of times that's exactly how we feel God is. It's like we're like, God, you're stuck with me. You're stuck with me, God. I know there's so many better people in the world, but you got stuck with me. I was the last one picked, and you had to pick me because you're a good God. So many people feel that way about God, but it's totally not true. It's absolutely not true. And we see that because in verse number 4, it says this. I want you to grab a hold of this. I want everybody in here that ever felt like you were second best to Joyce Meyer or Kenneth Copeland or one of these big dogs, you think like, oh man, God can never love me as much as he loves that person. God can never be for me as much as he is for that person. I want you to get this and just let it sink in. Verse number 4 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. God already picked you. You're first one picked. How many know when you're playing dodgeball or whatever and the team captain and all that, if you're the first one picked, you're like, yeah. You know, when I was a kid and I was never really very good at sports because I just really wasn't into it. You know, it wasn't my thing. And so finally I realized one day I kept being like one of the last people picked, and I realized, you know, if I'm the team captain, this won't happen anymore. So I thought they'd be like, who wants to be a team captain? Me. That's when my leadership skills started coming. I began managing my team, you know? I was like, all right, you play here. I'm not playing. You play here. You play here. You know, I learned real quick. But the thing is you feel good when you're one of the first ones picked, you know? And so we see here that God chose us before the creation of the world, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Verse number 11 says, in him we also were chosen. Remember that fear of not being picked? You know, there's people that marry the wrong person all the time because they feel like nobody else will pick them. There's people that justify the relationships they're in because they feel like nobody else will pick them. But if you know that God has already picked you, you won't care who else picks you. Amen. Amen? There's people that you're letting peer pressure and things like that conform you into someone that you know that you are not on the workplace. You don't want to stand up because you don't want to be left out. You don't want to be different. But when you get an assurance and you get a confidence that God has picked you, it won't matter what other people say about you. You won't be looking for the approval of men because you know you have the approval of God. And most of the time, you cannot have both. You can't have both. The approval of God, but God picked me. You know, the Greek, to choose, it means to pick out. To pick out. Here's what Webster says out of the word chosen. It means having been selected as the best or most appropriate. One who is the object of choice or of divine favor, an elect person. That's who you are. You say, oh, that's somebody. No, that's you. And you need a revelation of this. You need an understanding of this. You are the divine. You are the selected person. You are the object of choice. You are the person of divine favor. You are the best and most appropriate because you were chosen. Amen? And what is God saying when he says that? He's saying, I want a relationship with you. God wants a relationship with you. I love John 15:16. God is saying this. He says, I prefer, I desire, I select and pick you. Isn't that good? John 15:16 says this. This is Jesus talking. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. So often, I remember as a backslidden Christian, and I literally said these words. I was like, God, you're stuck with me. You're stuck with me. It never occurred to me that he rejoiced in me. It never occurred to me that he celebrated me. It never occurred to me. I was like, I'm a sinner. I have messed up so bad. God, you are stuck with me. You can't leave me. You can't forsake me. You're stuck with me. He's stuck with me, but I remember that old, you'll show your age in here a little bit. How many remember that old Huey Lewis song? I'm happy to be stuck with you. Amen. I love that song. I would sing it for you if I could sing. You guys have to Google it. Somebody sing it. It says, I'm happy to be stuck with you. It's like an old married couple, and they're happy to be stuck together. And, you know, when I think about God, and I thought about how I felt at that time, and just crying and thinking, Lord, you're stuck with me like I was a burden to him. Like I was just a screw-up that he was stuck with, and I'm a burden to him. That's how I felt. But you know what? That's not how God felt. God chose me before. God celebrates you. God rejoices over you. God may not be real thrilled with stuff you're doing, but he still loves you. Amen? God may not be pleased with your actions, but he is always crazy in love with you.
Yes.
Amen? And when I see this, Jesus said, you didn't choose me. You didn't choose me. He says, but I chose you. I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Man, that doesn't sound like somebody stuck with somebody. Right? Among the billions of people that have lived, that are alive today, and will be born tomorrow, God is saying, I choose you. The gospel of Jesus Christ is personal. It's a relationship. It's one-on-one. And that's why it's so important that you spend time with God, that you read the Word of God, so that God can get to you what he needs you to have. Because he wants a relationship with you. God picked you. Now, here's the beauty of God's decision. We say, how could he choose me? How could he love me the way that I am, the things that I've done? But God didn't choose you because you were good or because he felt sorry for you. That's not why God chose you. Verse number 4 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. before you were conceived, before you were born, God said, I want a relationship with you. And you know what that means? The number one reason you exist, the number one, everybody's always like, why am I here? Why was I born? What's my purpose? Your number one reason that you are here, that you exist, is God wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with you. Verse number 4 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with, look at this next word, and according with his pleasure and will. God loves you. God loves you. He picked you. In verse number 11, it says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Now, we're going to look at that word predestined because I want you to see it, because it, that word, the enemy will say, well, you weren't predestined. You weren't predestined. Every other people are, but you're not. Anybody ever told you that? But that word, there's two opposing words for the word predestined. How many have ever heard this word? Predestined. And a lot of people say, oh, your life is predestined. And it is. But you have a lot to say about it. And so that word, and how many want to learn something? You guys want to learn something? There are two big views that really make up the major evangelical religions in the world. And one of them, they all hinge on this word, predestined. And so, how many have ever heard the term Calvinism? Calvinism. All right, so Calvinism was from John Calvin, an early 16th century theologian who was instrumental in the Protestant Reformation. And so, this set of beliefs, what he believes, what he taught, is referred to as Reformed theology. And here's what it means. I think I got it up here for you. It says God has already chosen who will go to heaven and hell, and man is saved by the will of God. This is a very important word. Say it with me. Without choice. Those predestined cannot be lost. You got some more? Oh, and those that are saved, They can't be changed either. And so what that means, Calvinism basically says this, that God went saved, lost, saved, sorry, lost, saved, lost, saved, lost. And so you were saved, right?
Yes.
So if he says, no, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't want anything to do with Jesus. I don't believe in it at all. I deny everything that has anything to do with Jesus. Calvinism says, too bad, you're going to heaven anyway. And then Calvinism says to Devon, Devon's like, oh no, I heard the gospel, because you were lost, right? You lost. He says, I heard the gospel, and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus is my Savior. But according to predestination, if he wasn't predestined to be saved, no matter what he believes, you're lost. How many know that's kind of crazy? And so what it says is that their wills have nothing to do with it. That it is predestined. But how many love the song, Good, Good Father?
Yes.
Isn't that a good song? Mm-hmm. He's a good, good father. Yes, now, how many, you have 4 kids, right?
Yes.
Seems like more?
4 sometimes.
Now, if he was a Calvinist, he would say, you know, the first one, we're going to send that one out. We haven't met that first one yet, but we're going to send it out. The second one, send it out. The third one, we'll save it. The fourth one, we'll save him. We'll save him. So if Angel and Angie came and said, yeah, these are our first two, we don't want anything to do with them, they're lost, they're on their way to hell, and there's nothing they can do about it. Sorry, Chris and Selena. Sorry about that, guys. You're cute. You're wonderful, but you're sorry. You're predestined. And then Amber Macho came along. Oh, we love these two. These two are saved. These two are saved. What would we think of him? We think he's a good father? No, how people can believe this, I don't get it. I don't get it. All right, so we don't believe that. All right, so then let's go to the next one. So the other view of predestination. So how many can see that a lot of people believe that? There's entire religions that believe that only 144,000 people have been predestined to be saved. If you're 144,001, you're out. Sorry, you didn't get the winning number. Sorry. But what I want you to see here is it says without choice. So a Calvinism believes that we don't really have free will. We don't have free will. So then the other theologian that we would more believe, and what I believe the word supports, and it's called Arminianism. And it's for Jacobus Arminius, and he was a Dutch pastor and a theologian in the late 16th and early 17th century who disputed many of Calvin's conclusions. His most well-known follower was John Wesley. A lot of you guys have heard of John Wesley, who became the leader of the Methodist movement. Just a little history for you. And he believed that man has free will. Salvation is by grace alone, and God's election and predestination are conditional upon our, say the word with me, choice to put our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what we believe here at BBC. We believe that. The word predestination, it has two parts in it. Pre, meaning before, and destination, meaning point of final arrival. And so to predestine something is to determine beforehand where it will go. And so there's a Greek word for it. There's a Greek word for everything in the New Testament, right? And it means to predetermine. But in Romans 8:29, it says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And verse number 5 is telling us that God had a plan for us. What's God's predestined plan? His plan is for us to be his children. The new birth was part of the eternal plan so that he could have his whole family as precious, that is precious to him, that he has delight in, that he wants a relationship with, and all of them to his firstborn son, Jesus Christ. So when we think about this, the plan, the predestined plan is that we would all receive Jesus. That's God's plan.
Amen.
That's the predestined plan. That you would be a child of God. That you would be in the family of God. That you would walk in the victory that God has for you. That you would walk in the knowledge of the mystery of his will. That you would walk in healing in your body. That you would walk in provision and prosperity for your life. That you would walk in joy and happiness. That's God's plan. That's his predestined plan. But how many know we have a part to play in that? So when you hear that word predestined, don't let the enemy lie to you and say, oh, it's for the elect, it's for the few. No, you are the elect. Because didn't we just read that in Ephesians? God chose you. You, God predestined before you were even born, before you even blew it, before you developed your quirky personality, before you married the wrong person, before you did all these things, before you did all the things that you think God's upset with you and doesn't want anything to do with you about, before you did all those things, God said, I pick you. I pick you for a relationship with me. I pick you to be close to me. I pick you to be a child of God. That's God's plan. That's God's predestined plan. You know, when we think about that, and everybody talks about God's sovereignty, but here's the thing. God's sovereignty is dependent upon men's responsibility. Amen? We have a part to play. If I believe in Calvinism, that means I can do whatever I want and there are no consequences or anything that I could, that my will doesn't matter. My will doesn't matter. But we can look back in the Garden of Eden and we can see our will matters. And isn't it, how much you know, I have a sign in my house and it says, you can buy the dog, but you can't buy the wag. You get it? You can buy the dog. You can't buy the wag. That means you can buy a dog, but just because you bought it doesn't mean it's going to like you. Doesn't mean it's going to love you. And the thing is when we think about choice, when we choose to love someone, when we choose to, we're not made to, we choose to. Isn't that much more beautiful? God doesn't make you do anything. It's our choice. God's sovereignty is dependent on man's responsibility. Amen? Yes. God has a plan. And I can go over here and do my own plan, or I can come under his plan. And what he predestined for me, what his destiny for my life, I can choose that. Amen? And so when we think about this, we all know this. You got a magnet at home. It says it, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. What? That's the predestined part. That's God's plan. The next thing that we see in Ephesians, man, we got to grab a hold of this. It's who you are. You are chosen. You are predestined. And you are adopted. You're adopted. Verse number 4 in Ephesians says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight and love. He predestined us. So this is God's plan for me, for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. You know, God didn't inherit you. He chose you and has adopted you. His pre-design, the predestination, what he has for you is he chose you. He requested to adopt you as his son and his daughter. That's God. He's not like, yeah, you can hang out for a while. That's not God. He's like, I'm going to adopt you into the family. And do you know in the United States of America, adopted children have more rights than biological children? Adopted children, it's true, you can Google it. Adopted children cannot be disinherited. They have rights. But biological children, you can get kicked to the curb. You know, and sometimes you think, oh, you know, I'm adopted. No, it's a good thing. God picked you. Amen? God picked you. God wants to make it permanent. We need to stop seeing ourselves as temporary visitors in the family of God. No, God has made it permanent. Yes. He adopted it. He predestined. He chose you. He predestined you. He adopted you. Amen? God loves you. God's got a plan for you. Romans chapter 8, verse number 16 and 17, it says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that, grab a hold of this, we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. God's desire is for us to walk in our inheritance as his children. That's God's desire for you, to walk in your inheritance as his children. Yes. Isn't this good news?
Yes.
Isn't this incredible?
Thank you, Lord.
It's incredible. You are a child of God. But here's the thing. Some of us, we've been in church so long, and we've heard this message so many times, we're just like, oh, yeah, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Oh, yeah, I'm a child of God. It's like, you're a child of God.
Glory.
And you get all the benefits that go along with it. All the benefits. You get those because you're a child of God. And you're not a child of God because, you know, listen, Macho, he didn't pick to be a child of angel. He didn't pick that. Right? He didn't pick it. And so, but here's the thing. He picked him. Because when he came out, they could have been like, you know, I don't know. He don't look like the rest of us, you know? Let's send him back. Let's send him on. Let's give him to somebody else. No, he's like, no, we'll keep you. You know, it's a funny story with my dad. This is a true story. You can ask my dad. I've shared it many times. When I was little, my brother Mike convinced me that I was adopted. You know, because he's mean and torturous, my brother Mike. And so he convinced me. He's like, you're adopted. You're not even one of us. I didn't understand adoption. See, if I would have understood adoption, I would have been like, I got more rights than you, you know? But I was a kid and I didn't get it. And you know what? There's so many kids, in spiritual kids, you don't get it. You don't get how awesome it is that you're adopted. Because my brother, he's like, you're adopted, you know? And then he's like, Mom and Dad, they found you, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And so finally I go to my dad, and I'm like, Dad, you know, there are seven of us. I was the last one. I go to my dad, and I'm like, Dad, Mike said I'm adopted. I'm all upset about it, right? My dad, God as my witness, my dad said this. He said, Peggy, adopted kids are picked. We wouldn't have picked you. True story. True story. My dad was all about being strong and having, you know, but he's joking. He laughed. He's like, you know, of course you're not adopted. But, you know, the thing about it is he had a really good point, because adopted kids are picked. They are picked. They're chosen. They're chosen. God picked you. You know, I'm sure there's some parents in here and you're like, I didn't pick this one, right? You know, you got stuck with that one. That's what my parents think about my brother Mike. No, I'm kidding. But the thing is that when we're adopted, we're in the family of God, and God wants us to walk in our inheritance as his children. Colossians 1, 12 and 13 says, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, hold on, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Oh, isn't that good? Think about this. How many, when you were a kid, you'd be like, my dad's bigger than your dad. My dad's stronger than your dad. But think about this. Your dad has unlimited power and ability. Your dad has already declared in his written word and promised to us that he will provide. Isn't that good? Stop thinking, how are we going to make it? What's going to happen? How's it going to work out? We got to say, my dad is going to take care of it. My dad. That's why it's so important. Dads in here, real dads, biological dads, adopted dads, spiritual dads, whatever kind of dad you are, be the kind of dad that represents God. Because that's why the enemy fights fatherhood so much. That's why our country, we have a crisis of fatherless homes. And it is a crisis. And women can be like, oh, woman power, I can be both. Listen, I am all for women power, but you cannot be a father. You can't be a father. I cannot be a father. I can be as strong and as powerful and as go woman as I can be, but I cannot be a father. I cannot. We need fathers, because the role of the family is to show the goodness of the Father God. And so many people, they cannot expect God to be. When they hear the word father, they think absent. They think gone. They think never there. They think a lot of things. And if that's you in here today, I encourage you, come up over that. Recognize that God is not a person. God is God. And he is, and he will, the Bible says he will be a father to the fatherless. But you need to change your thinking of what a father is. Your dad will protect you. Your dad will provide for you. That's God the Father. Amen? That's another message. I don't want to get over into that. My God is more than enough. He is bigger than lack. He is greater than sickness. He is greater than disease. The Bible says if God is for us, who can be against us? The Bible says I'm redeemed from the curse of the law and I walk in the blessings of God. But the enemy will fight you on it every turn, every corner. He will tempt you with a counterfeit life that is not what God predestined for you. And he will tell you that you don't deserve what God has for you. And when he does that, you need to be able to say with confidence and assurance, I am a child of God. I didn't earn it. I probably don't deserve it, but I'm it anyway.
Come on.
Because God chose me.
Thank you.
God picked me. God predestined me. God adopted me. Amen? God adopted me.
Yes, thank you.
And he made it permanent. We got to get a hold of this. And then you know what else he did? He marked me. He sealed me. The Bible says the Holy Spirit has sealed me as a guarantee. As a guarantee. You know, when Paul's teaching, he's using something that everybody in that community understood. They understood the mark. Because every transaction, every legal transaction, everything was sealed with a mark. If Angel and I are in a transaction and we're buying property or I'm buying it for him or he's buying it for me and this time that Paul is teaching it, we would each have a ring with our family's insignia on it. It would have our mark. And what we would do is wet the ink, right? We'd put our ring in it and we'd seal the paper. And you know what it would do? It would make it, it would authenticate it. It would mark it. And that's what God has done to you and to me. We are marked.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? There is a seal on me. And here's what that seal does. Listen to me. Grab this. That seal tells the enemy, he belongs to God.
Yes.
It is a protection.
Yeah.
I'm sealed. I'm marked by the Holy Ghost. So when the enemy sees me, he doesn't see Peggy. What's Peggy going to do? Right? He seals the mark.
Yeah.
He sees the mark of God the Father. So don't mess with that one. She belongs to the King. Amen? You've been marked. You've been sealed. Oh, isn't that so good? I tell you, these are things that we need to meditate on every day. Every day, because the world is always trying to tell you that you are not worth anything. The world is always trying to tell you that you're weird or you're this or you're that. The enemy is always trying to say that you are unqualified, that you are not enough, that you are never going to make it. You don't have what it takes to be the father that your kids need. You don't have what it takes to be the mom your kids need. You don't have what it takes to have a happy marriage. You don't have what it takes. He's always trying to tell you you're less than. That's why we got to meditate on. It doesn't matter where I've been or what I've done. I am a child of God, and I have all the benefits, and I walk in the inheritance. I walk in the power that comes from being in that family.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
I walk in. I mean, we just saw the royal wedding, right? Who watched the royal wedding? Anybody watch it? You know, some of us, be honest. You know you saw it. We saw the royal wedding. Beautiful. But we see that family, and we think, how did... I mean, that's amazing. It's like a royal family. And because Harry is Charles's child, who is Queen Elizabeth's child, he gets a royal wedding, right? And he gets all the benefits of being royalty. And we see that wedding. We see how beautiful it is. And all those people, listen, that is nothing compared to being in the family of God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
It's nothing. It's nothing compared to being in the family of God. We need to meditate on this all the time. We need to remind ourselves. We need to get a hold of it. And then in verse number 15 in Ephesians 1, it says, because of all the stuff we just learned, I'm chosen. I'm predestined. I'm adopted. I'm marked. Amen? I'm sealed. Verse number 15 says, for this reason, ever since I heard about you in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have never stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking God that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Listen, so that you may know him better. So that you may know him better. Paul writes, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glory and glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And then here, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. How many know that covers everything? It covers everything. It covers everything on earth, everything under the earth. It covers everything that has happened, everything that's gonna happen. It covers everything. You got nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be afraid of. And he says, in every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. Listen, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. All right, now very quickly, this is Jesus. Jesus is very handsome, right? Jesus is very handsome. He's dressed for the occasion. Now Jesus is the head, and we are the body. And the Bible says that everything has been placed under his feet. So if they're under his feet, who else's feet are they under? They're under ours. Every sickness, every poverty, every fear, every dominion, every power, everything is under the name of Jesus. This is my part. This is us. We're the body. And he's the head. Man, we need to get a hold of this. Because we're acting like we're not part of the head. We're not part of the body. But if Jesus is the head and I'm the body, then how many know what the head gets, the body gets too? You're not a second, you're not a stepchild that's been pushed aside. Amen. You are adopted into the family of God. You are the body of Christ. That's you. That's me. I didn't earn it. I got, listen, picked for it. I got picked for it. Jesus said, I'll take you, I'll take you, I'll take you, you, every one of us. You got picked. Not because anything you did. Everything he did. And all you got to do is believe. Amen? Believe it. Man, isn't that good?
Yes. Yeah.
I encourage you, just read the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Read it every day this week. It will change your life because you're going to learn who you are. Amen? You're going to learn what belongs to you. You're going to learn what God did for you. It's good news. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that every person in here would have just an awakening in the spirit of who they are in Christ. That those who have been sitting on pews for many years and have been saying, yeah, I'm a child of God, that they would get a revelation of what that means. A revelation of what that means. And when you have a revelation of something, it changes you. It changes you. Listen, if being a child of God hasn't changed your life, you don't have a revelation of it. You don't have a revelation of it. Because being a child of God changes us. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I pray for every person in here. I know everybody in here. I know that we're born again. But man, let's get a revelation of what that means.
Jesus.
Let's get a revelation. Let's quit getting kicked around and knocked around by fear. Let's quit getting kicked around and knocked around by poverty. Let's quit getting kicked around and knocked around by doubt and worth feelings of worthlessness. Let's quit getting kicked around by sin that so easily tempts us. Let's recognize that we are higher and greater than those things because we are children of God. Let's quit getting kicked around. Nobody kicks around a child of God who knows who they are. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I pray that, like prayer did, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Lord, let us know who we are. In Jesus' name, let's all say amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. All right, listen, we got to do a couple things real quick. We got to receive the offering. What do we say here at BBC? We say we give because we want.